If you're not looking at the platforms of the candidates, now I don't mean only presidential, I mean in every area, if you're not looking at what they stand for and what they represent, it is important. Most of the time, politics are directed toward pulling, drawing, stirring up emotions rather than having anybody look at the facts. So, it is important that we look at the facts of where somebody stands, what their basis of belief is in, or their integrity or their stand on particular issues. Now that was a good spot for an amen. Amen. All too often, people and believers do not do that. I'm convinced that that is not this church. Vote for righteousness. No one of them is going to be perfect. Vote for who best represents the platform of righteousness in God. Okay, period. And I want to remind you all, because the Lord reminded me, it is vital that we continue to pray for our leaders. Those that we agree with and those that we do not. Those that we agree with that are along the lines of a biblical base, that they be shored up, drawn near to the Lord, get good counsel, godly counsel in decisions, that they are restored and strengthened, that they continue to fight the good fight and draw nearer to Him while being an influence in the area and the sphere they are. The second is for those who are really anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-biblical, anti-righteousness, and don't even probably know, but that they would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that someone would share the gospel with them that can reach in to their hearts that are crying out, and they may not even understand it, but crying out for what's real, hearts that have been shut off by whatever the circumstances are in their lives or the choices that they have made. They are not unreachable. If Jesus can reach us, He can reach anybody. Okay? We must remember to pray for our leaders in these ways. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's get in the Word, shall we? This series is called Last Days Living. Last Days Living. I have endeavored to prepare our church for these last days in the previous series, and now how to live through these days, and a lot of this is areas that we don't necessarily like. And in this understanding of the grace message, where we know Jesus has accomplished everything. Everything for us. Made us more than conquerors, given us life, given us, promises, healing, prosperity, deliverance, preservation, given us His righteousness before God, joy and peace, love, and much, much more. That doesn't change in these last days. Please understand this. But the external events are going to continue to change. Did anybody hear about President Trump brokering a deal with Sudan and Israel? Now there is peace between Israel and another Muslim, predominantly Muslim nation. You may not know this, but the understanding of what is happening, we are watching biblical prophecy, last days prophecy happen before our eyes in ways that have never happened before. We're seeing this. We are living in the most incredible time of the history of the world right now. Right now. What a privilege it is to be here. Now, and we know that we understand we're brought into the grace of God. Right? And that hasn't changed. However, the external circumstances of our lives are going to continue to change as our country is reformed. And no matter who gets in, no matter who's elected president, no matter who's elected in different areas, things are going to continue to change. It will get better, as I've told you before, it will get better for a time. And what's going on behind the scenes, what's going on so overtly right now as far as evil predominantly taking over our country will go underground a little bit. It'll get hidden. But it's going to continue. It's going to continue and it will increase. This is the Antichrist spirit. And if you're not seeing this, then you're not discerning the times. Okay? It is important that we understand that we discern the times. God has given this to us for a reason and opened our eyes and given us the light and given us the truth. That means we have a responsibility. We have areas in our lives that we need to step up to and step into. It means that it's time to grow up and toughen up. Welcome to it, church. Whoa. We have to grow up and we have to toughen up. I have never been in a church that has such a excellent knowledge of the word and the understanding of the doctrine of grace. The understanding of God's love, his provision, healing, wholeness, everything, the righteousness that we have, not based on us. That we don't have to work and earn our salvation, our place. It's given to us by faith in Jesus Christ. But what we haven't as a church body, I'm not speaking only here, I'm talking about generally is, we haven't grown up to the fact that evil, as it continues and increases, this is last days living. Do you understand? The dominance of evil trying to take over the dominion of the world. This is what's happening. To destroy. That means the light in us has got to rise up. That means we don't get to sit on our bottoms, but we need to step in maturity and grow up in the understanding of what is expected of us, what's needed of us, what God has asked us to do in our stewardship in this time in the kingdom. In the power of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural, and toughen up, because people aren't going to like you and me. The world is not going to like us. Have you seen in the United States of America, the oppression against the church? See it still. Churches will shut down, but bars will open up. What? And there's more. Come on, you all know it. Believers, true believers, not Christians in name only, but true disciples of Jesus Christ. Are going to be liked less and less. This is a part of the reforming of our country. It is imperative that we mature. That anything in our lives that is left from the baggage we've carried in from the world needs to be rooted out. It really does. We need to make some decisions on where we're going to stand, how we're going to stand, no matter what. These need to get cemented in us from now on, and we need to get tougher. In our faith. Tougher. Maybe a little thicker skinned. Maybe a little more adamant about the gospel. not oppressive. But understand, we have a message God has given us that he's provided to save the whole world. And just like the enemy, the devil works through people to bring about his agenda. The Holy Spirit in his power wants to work through us as much as we will allow him and move mightily. As evil gets more prevalent, the supernatural power of God is going to get more prevalent. As the ugliness of what's going on in our country and in the world gets more, the power of God and the light and the truth are going to get more. This is what's coming. Are we ready? That's part of learning how to live in last days living. I mean, man, Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. Our home isn't here. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, I'm so glad. Our home is with him in heaven with our Father. Hallelujah. I guess I need to say one more thing here. I feel like the Lord kind of gives me these long introductions sometimes to the message. But what I want to say is that if you think, you have these thoughts like, I haven't lived my life yet. Lord, I'm not ready for you to come because I haven't done everything I wanted to do. Or what about my kids? What about my family? What about their kids? And what about their kids after them? And what about their kids after them? I mean, where does it end? And what about, but I'm ready for a promotion, or all these things that we don't want to end right now. Guess what? We don't have a choice in this. It's not our choice. This is it. We're there. We're in the last days. Am I being too blunt?
No.
Are these things you already know?
Yes.
Great. Then I'm done. Okay. It is important that we get these things cemented in us. It's got to happen in our hearts, okay? We can understand these mentally. We really can. But if we don't get this in our heart, guess what? When the decision times come, and we've got evil laws, which are going to be more, there's more coming. There's more ungodly, unrighteous promotion of evil law in this country. When that comes, the moral choices that we will make will be in direct opposition to those evil laws. Are we willing to suffer the consequences? Because they will be. It won't be just me that goes to jail. That's the reality. Do I want to go to jail? Absolutely not. But it doesn't matter. This life is short. What matters is the kingdom of God and serving my Lord, my King, and loving him and loving people and sharing the gospel and moving in the power of God and really sacrificing everything else. It's all about him and it's all about people. And it has to be that way for us. It means we are going to be changing a lot. Because we have been very soft and very spoiled in our country. Those days are pretty much done for true disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the reality. So in last days living, it's important that we understand how our enemy works. Because he's sneaky. He plays dirty tricks. He's behind the back. He's a sleazeball. It is important that we understand how to discern the devices that he uses to make inroads into our lives so that we don't get caught up with the rest of them. Amen? Amen. Time to wake up. Or we're done, one or the other. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is going to move more powerfully than you've ever seen in these times. We can start anticipating this. You're going to start seeing things that you haven't seen. Our discernment as a church has been dulled down over the years, particularly the last 100 years. But our discernment, and discernment is investigating and seeing right from wrong, truth from a lie. It's actually digging into the facts of what's going on, kind of like seeing the platforms of politicians instead of being moved by our emotions. We're moved by really what the facts are and where they line up. So we're going to discern and learn to discern the devices or the means that the enemy uses to slip in and capture us. All right? In discerning those times, it means we're going to live according to the Word of God, and we're going to live more separately from the world. This absolute surrender of our lives, it is a total and complete surrender. It is purposing to live in godliness and holiness. Holiness, again, gets a bad rap. It's not how you dress. It's not your actions. It's the purity of your heart that affects everything else in your life. That's holiness. That's what God's called us to be so separate from the darkness and the lies of the world that it's clearly visible. Smith Wigglesworth, one of my heroes of the faith, who, as many of you know, was powerful in received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and things began to change in his life. And when he spoke, even though he was uneducated, the power of God moved. When he laid hands on people, the miraculous happened. Sicknesses changed to health. Things changed in people's lives and in their bodies like never before. The prophetic word went out. All kinds of things happened, and he moved in the power of God. And you know what? He purposed to live a life of holiness, separated to the Lord, even when he was married, before his wife died, before she went to heaven. To the point his separation was that he would not allow even a newspaper from the world to come into his house. He made the decision to be separate from the world in that way. It is part of what we're called to. This is how the kingdom of God and the supernatural is going to begin to proliferate through the church. This is our wake-up call, and this is our time. Would you turn with me to 2 Peter, please? 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read this. I'm going to ask you, if you would, you don't have to, but if you close your eyes, I'm going to paint a picture here, okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start with verse 1, and if you close your eyes, I want you to think like this. Imagine or think or place yourself in a room sitting at the feet of the Apostle Peter. It's kind of dark. Candles are lit. People are all around you, kind of fidgeting some and moving some, but hungry. 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 To hear God's word. And Peter opens his mouth and begins to speak to you. He says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you and I may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption, the rottenness, the depravity that is in the world through lust. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Peter has just outlined some of what we have, what we've come to. So we understand that we are different. And life, God's kind of life and godliness has been given to us. We have to choose it. We can have all the gifts of God, but you know we have to accept them, choose them. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust by becoming partakers of His divine nature. We are now in Jesus, and He is in us. And all the power of the devil, all of it has been defeated, Colossians 2:15. The war is won against the onslaught of the devil, but the battle continues for the souls, the eternal souls of men and women, and to make inroads into the lives of those who have given their life to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6, verses 12 and 13, let me read this to you for sake of time. We do not wrestle, and wrestling is someone trying to gain between two a chokehold on somebody, to have dominion over them. This is in the Greek. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The battles that go on are the demonic. That is, against the world and influencing the world, which is a craziness we see, and it's irrational. But the world's been blinded by the god of this age. We have not. Our eyes have been opened to the truth and the reality of what's going on. The Word of God is telling us exactly what to do and what's happening. And we're going, why can't they see? Because they don't have Him. And they're going to go crazier. Because that's the battle for their eternal souls. And the point is, what Paul is speaking to is to believers now. The battle goes on to get an inroad into your life and my life. He said in 2 Corinthians, Paul did, chapter 2, verse 11, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. He's warning us, he says, and this is, he's speaking regarding an offense and forgiving an offender. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Specifically, I want to focus on not being ignorant of his devices. A lot of times we have this tendency, oh, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Kind of like I'm living la, 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 la life. Sometimes. And we go around kind of ignorant. Now, not this church, but I'm speaking generally of believers. I'm ignorant. It doesn't matter. The war is won. Everything's done for me. It's all given to me. And we're kind of ignorant of the devices of the enemy, and that ignorance opens the doors for us to be slammed or taken advantage of or manipulated or moved. And that's what we don't want. We don't want to be drawn in. We want to live this separate life and not be lulled into what the enemy or the demonic is trying to do to us along with the world. And that is take dominion in some area. This is why it's so necessary for us, I want to say it again, to grow up. Any pettiness needs to go out the window. Toughen up. Not be whining and complaining. I mean, but really surrender our lives. And not be ignorant anymore of the devices of the devil formed against us that are meant to take us captive in some area if we have some darkness in our lives in some way. We must learn to actively discern, investigate, and look behind the scenes of a lot of times the circumstances that are going on around us to see what the truth is. The devil's lies that he's propagating, this is the influence, 1 John says, he has over the world. You know, propaganda, if you pummel somebody long enough with lies, they'll begin to believe it, because then it becomes the truth. Vladimir Lenin, Nazi Germany, United States of America. Is it happening? Sure, it's happening. Right under our noses. On Facebook, by a family member of mine who is not born again and adamant. Adamantly negative about our president and Christianity, posted something about a evangelical Christian who was pro-life and voting, well, the opposite that I would. Trying to make a point. I was being drawn in, lured. How does that happen? These lies that the enemy uses, this is what I wanted to get to, they're based on the deification of man. Remember? You are your own gods. This is I'm going to use Genesis chapter 3 because this is the foundation. Adam and Eve's sin, Adam and Eve's temptation and sin. You will be your own gods. The enemy is still doing this. Wants man to deify himself. And once you believe you are your own God, you become wholly and completely self-centered. And that's where you live. It's a fertile field for the devil. That's where all of us came out of. Praise God. The enemy's still trying to get a foothold there? Yep. How does he do it? I have running short of time, so let me get right to it. What are the devices that we should not be ignorant of? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want to explain this so that you understand. These are the devices that we want to see as we're discerning these times. We're seeing these devices at work all around us, and maybe they're in our lives too. We need to be aware. Number one is temptation. Temptation. And I'm not going to go into all the theology of all these, but I want you to understand that these are the devices to draw you in. Temptation. It is the presentation of evil as something good. Something worthwhile, something worth your investment. That is temptation in a nutshell. Number two of his devices is manipulation. Manipulation. This is to agitate and stir up in us emotionally our feelings, our emotions, in order to do his will. You see it all over the place. That is witchcraft. That's how witchcraft works. Number three of his devices is intimidation. Intimidation, that is instilling fear through potential loss or lack. Instilling fear in somebody through potential loss or lack. Number four is justification. Now, I don't mean justification as far as being justified with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm talking about justification the way the devil uses it as a device. That is appealing to self-gratification through reason. Remember, this is Genesis 3. Adam and Eve and the serpent. Nothing's changed. It's just more prevalent now. Justification. Appealing to self-gratification through reason. And number five is consummation. Consummation. That is the completed action that results from all of these. That's what springs the trap. That's what you're seeing all around us. All around us. All the time. This is why it's so necessary to know what his devices are and to be separate in our lives from allowing the darkness to creep into our lives. Does it mean we're going to make some changes in our lives? Absolutely. Is it a part of growing up and toughening up? Absolutely. Now, after the enemy springs the trap, here's the summation. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. That's how this works. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Genesis chapter 3. The intended results of the devil's devices. Here they are. Accusation. Accusation. Relentless reminders of the offense. Relentless. Can anybody relate to this? Reminders of the offense. Accusation. And condemnation. Condemnation. Which is the shame, the guilt, the regret, and the consequences from the action being a part of our lives. That's the trap. And that's what he tries to bring us into as believers if we'll partner with or yoke with or allow the leaven of the world. And this is the hard part because it's hard to our flesh to be a part of our lives. That is why it is so necessary, so absolutely necessary that we recognize what he does. And we can back off. We can make a decision. We can change things. It is so important because this is a trap. And it is meant, like everything else the devil does, to destroy, to keep us captive. Jesus paints a picture of it in Luke chapter 11, verses 21 and 22. Luke 11, verses 21 and 22, when he says, when a strong man fully armed, now he's speaking about this device of the devil, or these devices of the devil. Let's use that for an example. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. The strong man represents the devil and the hold that he has on somebody's mind, heart, life, body through these devices. Verse 22, but when a stronger, who's the stronger? You can all say it at once. You got it. He's always the stronger. Comes upon him and overcomes him. How did he do it? Through his death, burial, and resurrection for us. He takes from him all his armor, exposes it, in which he trusted, and divides his spoils. We cannot, that's, first part of that is the strong man. That's how slavery happens. Spiritual slavery. Slavery to sin, slavery to the tactics, the devices of the enemy. The freedom comes through Jesus Christ and our faith in him as Lord and Savior. John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And verse 36 says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." This is the way he did it. Turn to Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, this is the way I read the word. I like to put myself there. Right in the place when the letter writer, when the Holy Spirit is dictating through the letter writer. I like to put myself right there listening one-on-one. Maybe there's other people around me. I don't really notice. But I'm sitting there cross-legged or whatever it is, and I'm listening to what he's saying in intent and context. And I'm taking it to me. Because that's who it's for. So would you close your eyes and let me read this to you as Paul speaks to you by the Holy Ghost. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. "For this reason, saints, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk and live worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might and power and ability, his grace, according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Man, I could close right there. That's where we are. All of how we live is our choice. Last day's living is going to require of us these kind of choices. And it's going to be more and more. Please understand, I am not just saying this. I'm saying this because I care about you and I love you. God has shown me much more than I've wanted to see about these days. I believe I know a lot of the depth of what's coming. And it's time to run to the battle, not away from it. As separated from the world and full of the power of God, like David with Goliath. That's the picture of us in our lives now. And for too long we have ignored, I'm talking about the church in general, we have ignored or kind of hoped they'd go away or maybe they will be quiet. And we go about our business rather than making a stand for righteousness. You and I are going to be in positions coming up to make a stand for righteousness and the godliness that we've been given. It's coming, folks. My very precious brothers and sisters, it is coming. And this is the reality of last day's living. How do we do this? Ephesians chapter 4, I'll just read it first. Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. This is a continual thing, and this is to get this in our hearts, that you put off concerning your former conduct, our choice, the old man, which grows corrupt. And corrupt in the Greek means rotten, like rotten, decayed fruit sitting in a bowl. You all seen it. That's what he means. Everything it touches becomes rotten. That you put off your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the way you think, in the way you perceive, in the way you are not ignorant of the devices of the devil, in the way that you are comprehending the truth of the Word of God, and that you put on the new man and your new identity of who you really are from now on, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's how we do this. That's how we do last days living in the midst of the evil that is becoming more and more prevalent. Again, you're going to see it. For a little while, it's going to kind of go underground. Don't forget, it's still there. It's coming back. We have got to get ready to live these last days through in the call that God has given us to be lights in the darkness, salt in this earth, representatives of the gospel of the kingdom. Remember, we have the keys. Matthew 16. And if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have been endued with power. There's a reason that you have that power. It's not to sit at idle. Now, this is not to be condemning. This is kind of a wake-up call. This is what he's called us to. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Who's on prayer? Thank you. Anybody else? We're going to need one more. Okay. You know, we've had some pretty powerful moves of God here lately, and I expect more of that because I know that the supernatural is rising up and really taking place in not only our lives, but throughout this church, and we're going to see this more. It's been sporadic in the life of the church here for the last 100 years, but the move of the Holy Spirit is going to get far more prevalent. Through you. If you need to grab a hold of an understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of God and speaking in tongues, if you need to be able to receive an understanding from God, or if you need to be able to receive your healing in a different way, if you need something God has given you and you're having a hard time breaking through into it, if you need some clarity in your mind, if you need prayer for anything for your family, today is the day to receive it. Anybody have a need? Anybody? Raise your hand, will you? Or are you all needless? Okay, raise your hand high. Please come up. Please come up right now. Not later on, right now. The food will wait. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Good. I know there's more. Anybody else? Thank you. Thanks for being honest. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We have to. We're going to make it through these last days living. I'm telling you, we're going to get more honest with ourselves than we've ever been. All of us. I need the heat kicked up in here. It's freezing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Who else is on the prayer team? David, would you come on up? Be part. Thank you. Pat, you going to come up? I'd really like to get a prayer team member for each one. Thank you, Lucy. Anybody else? Everybody have somebody? Is there anybody left out? One more. Thank you, Jackie. You don't need a badge right now. Just come on up. All right. I'm going to close in prayer. When you step up to this prayer team person, do not come with, "Well, I hope so. Well, I hope I get an answer. Well, I hope God comes through. Well, we'll see." Like Abraham, when God spoke to him, he became fully assured, not looking at the fact that he was nearly 100 years old, he was going to have a baby, be a father. He was fully assured and confident in God that he is faithful and that he keeps his word unequivocally, period. When these pray for you, expect God to meet you right now and things to change. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this time, for changing us, getting through to us, to our hearts and our minds, and making real to us how to live through these last days in victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.